Circa Las Vegas. It's Cofield & Company.
All right, here we go, Cofield & Company. Rain at the pool is not good. Stadium swim. It is cooling it down, though. This is a record low in Cabana 7 at Stadium Swim. So we've been out here when it got up to 104.7, I think it was. But if you're around the valley, a little windy, a little sprinkly, pouring other places. It is cooling down, though. So glass overflowing, we kind of need that. 90.8 degrees. We'll see if we can set a record for low during the summer here. At Cabana 7, Stadium Swim is the site. Come on down. It'll clear up. Trust me. I'm as reliable as not our weather people here. They're all great. So we'll dig on like LA weather people. But Alex White is in as the company today. It's Cofield. We're at Circa Las Vegas. A lot of gambling talk. We will also dispel a notion that Alex mentioned to me via text earlier. But first of all, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good.
Little rain, but it is still the best pool in Las Vegas, right?
Yes, yes. I've been told it's not a pool. It's six bodies of water. But, you know, they're pools. Fantastic because it is a stadium. You can swim. And there is a 143-foot screen. We've got Summer League basketball on right now. We got a bunch of odds on the left side of the board, including UFC and NFL. And here's the notion I will dispel. You sent over, I want to get this right, because I hear this all the time from people, and it's, you didn't know this is one of my pet peeves. I just saw some potential breaking news. Let's see. That distracted me. Text earlier, we were talking about topics today, because that's what we do on Cofield & Company. We trade topics, and then we put together a rundown. And Alex sends over tough day for talking points. Now, I don't know if you've ever listened to Cofield & Company, but anyone who's ever been on the show, and Alex is going to be a regular part of the company, I vehemently challenge that going back like 20-plus years because I think that's something that's been stuck in the head of people in radio. And for us on Cofield & Company, this is not bragging. The show today might stink because of me and our topic selection. I've always got stuff like ready to go, like that I've been wanting to talk about. And here's the thing with you, and Alex does great shows for South Point Studios down at South Point, especially as a gambling person, we've got multiple second halves of the season to look forward to. And it's college football season now in terms of prognostications and picks and NFL. So, sorry, that was not an effort to shame you, but these are the days over the years where I'm like, let's go, like full flex, like, it's going to be a good show.
I love it. And actually, I felt that response from you when you text me back. I was like, oh, okay. We got a great show.
I don't know if we're going to have all this, but like off the top of my head, because I was thinking of some stuff we've been talking about, we need to talk about. Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, the last 2 days. There's different stories on there. I put WNBA Ask, but I meant WNBA All-Star Game. Does Devontae Adams want to be here? We're going to hit that in the 4 o'clock hour because Mike Greenberg was stirring the pot yesterday. JT the Brick responded to Greeny, so we'll play the audio from both of those guys. Bronny finally had a good game in the Summer League. We are going to talk about Team USA on the men's side and get into that line that was set, imaginary line that was set at the beginning of the week with 2024 Men's Basketball Dream Team versus 92 Dream Team. We have to get to some Mountain West Conference football odds talk. The A's are talking to the Stadium Authority today. WNBA has future TV deal on the horizon, and we found a bunch more stuff. So,
yeah, loaded show. I forget that you have embraced WNBA, definitely, and you have talked about it a lot. Yeah,
don't be
so
shy.
I love that.
Are other people shy on the WNBA that you work with? Because I'm not
bit.
Shy. No, I love it. I love it. Well, the Clark Reese angle that will play at different or play to at different parts in the show is Caitlin Clark had 19 assists last night, but the Fever lost, so that's a story again. And then Angel Reese detractors and big fans were debating her derriere yesterday. So I think that's kind of interesting to get into, and some people had a really strong take on that. But, I mentioned the A's, and they're presenting latest details in terms of the money part of it, right? Because they got to close a big gap between the $380 they're supposed to get, $380 million, and whatever the stadium is going to be. proposal was for $1.5 million. I don't think it's going to – I don't think they're going to build a stadium for that much. I don't think they can afford it. And the question is, where are they getting this money to get up over $1 billion? Do you have any clue?
I have no clue.
Do you have a good feeling about this?
Them coming here in general, or it actually
– Them coming here in general, because you're right. Good feeling about the A's, is it's probably a no, but them coming here.
So in the sense of that it's going to happen, or that our city is going to embrace them, because
that's
going to
happen.
Because
you're right, the embrace thing, we don't know, because we don't know what the cost of the stadium is going to be. We don't know what the team's going to look like. I think going to Sacramento, landing in Sacramento, period. I don't even know if that's going to happen.
Right.
If they're going to have to play games at 9 o'clock in the morning during the summer at home, but just people ask me. I was with a Sacramento radio guy yesterday, sort of on air with them, and he was asking me about the odds of the stadium being built / the A's are here in 2028, 2029, whatever it is. I said 50-50, and at one point I would have said like 80-20, but I don't know. It seems to be – I do know. It's leaking oil a bit.
So I think you said before, right, that this could have been a little bit of a tease to get other people to kind of bid on them.
That's a good memory. Yeah. When they first announced the, hey, we're going to take 10% of the games – home games and move them out of the market somewhere else. One, that's part of the big pitch today. Like, you promised to pay back your money from the state and the county, but you also, in your plan, said to do that, we're going to have to sell out every game for 20 years straight to come up with that money. And then within like 9 months of the plan going through, then you're telling us, wait, now we're going to reduce the home schedule by 8 games. Like, the stadium authority should be asking today, like, wait, what happened? The money thing now? Are you gonna sell extra seats? Or can people sit on the field? Like, what's they right. can't make that up numbers wise.
Right. So that 50-50, I think, is pretty good. Maybe even a little bit less of it actually happening.
My notion was, and you teased it there, is that maybe behind the scenes they're promising Sacramento and Salt Lake some games, even when Vegas has the A's here. I don't know how that works in terms of a contribution. I don't know if John Fisher could get both Vivek Ranadive and the Utah potential owner to pitch in. I don't know what he needs. You know what? I don't know. Maybe all of it. Maybe he needs $900 million to close the gap. Can he get both of those guys to buy in for $450 million? He'd still be the majority owner.
Right.
I don't want to get too deep in this, because then there's also valuation of the franchise. Is it the Oakland valuation, the Sacramento valuation, or when we're in Vegas valuation? Are you a banker?
No.
Because I'm not. I don't like banks. I just want to use the ATM, and I hope they don't close my accounts and take my money, right? It's all insured. But, yeah, the valuation of the thing is, I mean, it's incredibly complicated. We'll see what comes out of the discussions the next couple of days here in terms of news items. And the other thing that's come up, Alex, is the original agreement with the A's and giving them this money was, okay, you're getting $380 million. You're planning on building a stadium for whatever, $1.5 billion. I don't know what they said officially. And it is going to be on the Trop site.
Right.
If they come up with a plan where they're like, Trop site ain't available, then we go back to the drawing board. And that is, then I think, then it's like 20-80 in favor.
That sounds about right. I can't even think of another spot to put
There's some coming up. So, think about this. You're down at the South Point. I don't think they're going to build all the way south of you guys, which they could. I know Adam Hill, who actually lives down there in Sohi, that's where he wants a stadium. Major League Baseball, and more importantly, any prospective owner of a Major League Baseball team, if it was expansion, they're going to want a strip view.
Absolutely.
Which is also complicating the NBA plan to build an NBA-ready arena across from the Outlet Mall South, Warm Springs, LV Boulevard, Blue Diamond. That's not the strip.
No. No, and I think it needs a strip view for success. I mean, I just can't help but go back to Sam Boyd and how that affected the UNLV football program and getting people out there, right? People just want the convenience and being right there. And then if it is like the Raiders and half of the stadium is filled with the tourist, works better if it's on the strip as well.
Maybe the fact that you mentioned the Sam Boyd thing, would a listen, Warm Springs and LV Boulevard is not suburban. Would a more suburban, away from the strip stadium actually be more attractive to local fans?
Yeah, probably. I mean, look at the Aviators. They're over in Summerlin. They have their season ticket holders and people that go to every game. I think it's done well out there.
You need to do some research for us, please, because I don't have the hooks that you do. We should ask the Aces, can they figure out numbers-wise where their ticket buyers are coming from in the city? Like, I wonder, going from Cashman out to Summerlin, is it like 80% Summerlin now and like no one from the east side comes across town?
I feel like it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as I know. But I don't
That's have AAA
a
baseball, though.
Answer that is correct. Yeah,
so for Major League Baseball,
people would drive.
I mean, if that's my question. Like, are you shutting out the north? Yeah, maybe. It's a long drive, although it's mostly highways down. 15 could be a living hell sometimes because the construction is never going to end. I mean, for you guys in the south and in Henderson, I said you guys, but I don't even know if you live down there, but I know you work down there at the South Point Studios. I wonder. But so the stadium, the other stadium options, because now I think the NBA is also looking at the expansion to Vegas, TV deals done soon. And Silver made a statement that, you know, Vegas becomes a tiny bit more attractive for an NBA expansion team because there's multiple arena projects being talked about, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, what makes it more attractive because of that?
Maybe a bidding war. And maybe that's a cryptic way of saying, you know what, the outlet mall site, not going to do it. He didn't say outright, like, hey, the plan that has it over potentially at Wet n' Wild, that's more attractive because it's on the strip. And then the other one that's come alive again, and it's one of the places I think the A's should have taken because there's more property. It's not directly on the strip. You get a strip view, is the Rio.
Yeah. I thought that was a perfect spot for them.
What do you like the best? Trop, Rio?
I like Rio.
Yeah.
I do.
Or Wet n' Wild. Wet n' Wild would be pretty interesting. So Wet n' Wild is between Fountainebleau and the Sahara.
Wet n' Wild.
I'm sorry, yes. The old Wet n' Wild. Well, you know what? I can think of the new Wet n' Wild got rebranded. I think it got bought by, is it Cowabunga? So there's two Cowabungas now?
I think you're right.
So I don't love the Trop site. It can be workable.
I think so, too.
The Rio, for me, is the best one was the Wild Wild West, but I guess I was going to say alliances, but not. Conflicts between powers that be in town shot that one down real quickly, so.
Another question for you is, how are we going to get Las Vegas behind this team if they do come? If it does happen, we need support. And I went to the Battle for Vegas last week, and fans are brutal. I mean, I understand you love the Golden Knights. That doesn't mean you have to hate on the Raiders, right? You're allowed to like two teams that are here and support them. Oh. But because the Golden Knights are born and raised expansion team here, they feel so much more connected to them. I don't want to see that happen to the baseball team as well.
Wait a second. So I wasn't out of the game, and I didn't. No one told me about this vibe. You got to tell me, everybody. It was very much like, what are we talking about pro VGK? Like, what percentage here? We're doing a lot of numbers today.
I mean, even they introduced the lineups, and it's like a nice golf clap for all of the Raiders players.
Really?
And then they go to the Knights, and it is just going crazy. I heard one fan yell, "We'll never love you like we love the Knights." I was like,
well, that's also understandable. The born here is cool. A lot of people aren't Raiders fans to begin with. And a lot of folks, like, I wonder how easy it was for many previous hockey fans just to drop their allegiance to their old team and glom onto the Knights and also jump on the Knights bandwagon when they were awesome from the get-go and then win a Stanley Cup in six.
Yeah, so hard, probably.
I will, nothing against the Raiders. I'm never going to be a Raiders fan. Now, would I like to see the Raiders do well? Yes, it's a good story to talk about. It's good for the market. We can eventually maybe shut out a lot of the buffoons from out of the market. But we also know we spend public money on these stadiums. We need tourism.
Yes.
We want people coming in. But, yeah, I'm never dropping my team, as miserable as it's going to be for whatever the next 5, 10, 20 years I live. Right? Fingers crossed. The Jets might kill me, actually, prematurely. That's interesting. So I guess I should have figured that that would be a more of a pro-VGK crowd. But back to the original point about how are we going to embrace the A's. Do you get a vibe that we're not going to?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it'll be the same thing. I mean, I guess because of where I work, being out there, it's, I haven't heard a lot of support about people wanting this to happen necessarily. And I, not because they don't want a professional team here, they just want an expansion, just like what happened with the Knights, which is even more complicated, right? But I don't know. Who knows?
You know, it's funny with the A's. I'll give you an example. We were here last week at Circa for Mountain West Conference Media Day, Football Media Day. And you sit down with certain coaches, and you get a vibe, right? Now, it might not be what you're supposed to believe about the future of a program. And it's not exactly a press conference, but let's liken it to a press conference. We've all heard the term, hey, that new coach won the press conference, right?
Yes.
And I'm telling you, between results and doing work publicly and in the media, that Spencer Danielson at Boise State, who's 35 years old, he got that job, one, because he won. I'm sure he presented a really good plan, but it was such a departure from Andy Avalos, who was kind of a crumb and wouldn't speak to people. I don't know how he did with the boosters there and all that. I'm guessing that their reaction was kind of so-so. So, to me, Danielson won the press conference even before he had a real press conference and got the Boise job. That helped. It is so easy, and the A's are up against a little bit because they set themselves up, but it's so easy in a couple of appearances to win the press conference and get people fired up here in Oakland. I check that and say I'm 40 and slip, right? Stay in Oakland. No, but it's so easy to win and get some public support because there are people here who want them, who want a baseball stadium, want Major League Baseball, want their team to come to town. It's like just, I don't know. They need a new front person. Just
right.
Come up with a victory. But it's so, I don't know why it's so hard for them.
It's true. That's a very valid point. I mean, you got to work at it a little bit, but it can be done.
They're rough, man. They're stumbling. They're bumbling. Alex White's here. It's Cofield and Company. Coming back, we're going to get into a big night in the WNBA last night. Lost, though. So the numbers are being put up by Caitlin Clark. They've gotten better, but that's a game against the Wings that they could win. Caitlin Clark set a record. She didn't win. What does that mean moving forward? And we'll start talking throughout the show about the second half of the WNBA season, which is a ways off, but there is an All-Star game coming up this weekend.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Yeah, get on out here today or anytime. Stadium Swim. Of course, looking ahead to UFC 305 with Duplessis, whatever you say his name, and Adesanya. DDP, I think that's what they go by. And out of Sonya, they'll have a big party here for 305, August 17th. And remember, they got it up here. The giant appetizer, dippage, tri-level, I call it the USSSSS snack ship. Because it is in the design of a ship. As I go through the video, seasonal fruit plates, nachos, drinks galore, there's sliders, there's lobster corn dogs, there's chicken tenders, everything you could ever want on the USSS snack ship here at Circa. They still haven't stolen my name yet. Alex is in, Alex White, Cofield, Cabana 7, Circa Las Vegas. So we were just talking about the A's into a little WNBA stuff. Caitlin Clark closes out the first half with a loss. So the Fever are now 11-15. Is that right? 10-15? I'm always off on the record. Caitlin Clark had 19 assists, had 24 points. They did lose, but she did wind up on 93 points scored. She scored or assisted on 66 of the 93. So another big day of buzz for Caitlin Clark. They are getting better, Alex, but there is still that most important thing. Her numbers are great, but they're not winning as much as maybe they could.
So 9-13, I'm not sure what you said, but really Dallas just couldn't miss yesterday. They shot 53.5 from the field. They looked really good, and Agumbawale. She's a, very good player. Took care of business.
Awesome. Should be an Olympian.
Yes, she should. And 18 turnovers for the Fever, so that'll do it to you. But they are playing much better. Caitlin Clark is really in her groove, and it's incredible with her passing. And we saw that in college, but it is definitely translated now to the WNBA, and she is making her team better. It'll just take a little more time. I mean, they're right there in the 7th and 8th. They should make the playoffs.
Got to win that game, though. So we both got the record wrong. I think I mentioned it correctly once. 11-14. So 11-14. Okay. I mean, the Wings are 5-19 now. You got to win that game. They wound up losing it and really came down to the fourth quarter. Aaliyah Boston's been much better since the first six games when she was having, and I'm not joking about this, like a mental breakdown over social media just annihilating her because they weren't winning, and the Caitlin Clark fans were like, you stink. You know, you're not helping Caitlin. And the whole team is under pressure because when the fact of Caitlin Clark setting the turnover record for a full season with, 14 games left now, 15 games left. 14 games left, she set it with 15 games left. The immediate thing is to say the rest of the team sucks and can't handle how good she is.
Right.
Which, not fair. And I don't, like, I think there might be a little bit of truth to it that she plays a little too fast and some of the crazy passes she does throw her teammates are just not used to it yet.
Yeah, a little bit of truth there, but it is definitely not fair to put that on the other players.
So I like having Alex on because she's very much into sports wagering. She does her show down at South Point Studios. And there's a guy who's a sports content creator, influencer, Joe Pompliano. And his stuff's interesting. A lot of good pictures. He's figured out the algorithm for sure on Twitter. He tweeted out, Caitlin Clark now has third best odds to win WNBA MVP after setting the league record for assists in a single game with 19. He then tweeted out an odds board with MVP. MVP. Okay. Not Rookie of the Year. MVP. The odds board out. Did he credit who this is from? I don't think he did.
No,
he
clipped it.
Asia Wilson. Minus 300?
3,000.
Wow. MVP, Ionescu, 65-1. Caitlin Clark, 85-1. Alyssa Thomas, 85-1. Brianna Stewart, that's a great bet. 150-1. I've hit on this before. Is Asia Wilson impervious to losing? I'm going to put it this way. Losing the MVP as a heavy favorite because her team is going to be the fourth or fifth best in the league. If they wind up, our over-under right now on this show, because we made a bet on it, is 28-12. And what if she was 24-16 and the Liberty are 31-9?
Oh, that does make it tough.
You don't give any extra love to Brianna Stewart? Or are her numbers just so friggin' dominant that you're like, hey, you know, it doesn't matter if they're the fourth or fifth best team during the regular season?
I think they're so dominant. I mean, looking at the Liberty, they are such a complete team. I mean, you've got Jones, you've got Sabrina, you've got Courtney. I just think they really spread it out well, and Asia Wilson is very dominant on the aces by herself. I mean, of course, Jackie Young, Kelsey Plum, they do their part, but yeah. I think it'd be very hard not to give it to her.
So Caitlin is, 85-1? I punched down the screen. 85-1 to win the MVP. So this Joe, who I don't really think understands how sports gambling works, then says the decision to keep her off the Olympic team is indefensible at this point because she's third in the MVP odds. That's not how odds are made. It's not made on, like, truly on MVP. First of all, there's money's taken in, right?
Correct.
I would guess a lot of sports books actually have, well, one, a ton of money on Asia Wilson, because that's why I got confused. When this book has minus 3,000, I was like, well, I think it was as low as, like, minus 400 maybe, like, 3 weeks ago. So they have so much money now on Asia Wilson, they got to find a way to balance it out by offering crazy odds, right?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly
that doesn't mean she's the third best player in the league, Joe! Sorry, cut you off.
No, that is exactly how it goes. It's all about balancing and trying to have bets on equal sides for games and then, you know, spread out nicely for these future bets.
She's not winning the MVP.
No.
I mean, if I'm making an argument for only a New York Liberty player can beat out Asia Wilson based on her numbers being monstrous, then the, 18-22 Caitlin Clark-led Fever, that's going to cost her. If the she would win with her numbers because they're kind of pedestrian compared to she's at, what, like 16-6-6, which is good, rookie year, but they're kind of pedestrian to, compared to a lot of the MVP candidates, and her team is, you know, the seventh best team in the league. She's got no shot. I mean, if you want to buy your lottery ticket out there, folks, go ahead. You can contribute to the book. You can help them balance out the Asia Wilson money. That includes Joe Pompliano. Joe, you have no idea what you're talking about. Come on, bro.
I can't believe I messed up on their record so bad. My page was not refreshed. But they would have to go undefeated right now for the rest of the season for Caitlin Clark to win this.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, you're right. You're right. All right, Xavier Pope's coming up in about 10 minutes. Stick around. We'll also get back to yesterday was a big day for Caitlin Clark on the court. It was also a big day for Angel Reese just walking around the court.
Now, back to Cofield and Company.
I've seen some of the dudes like on social media being like, oh, I thought we weren't supposed to focus on what women look like.
Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
I thought you guys just wanted to be taken serious as athletes and we're not supposed to focus on you being hot.
We love L. Duncan. Thank you so much for giving us your rant early in the season about being tired of the WNBA because there were no other topics besides Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. And yes, the incels. That was her impression of an incel who was very angry. They can't figure out what to talk about with the WNBA between on the court and then off the floor and the fashion walk-in and then the shorts yesterday of Angel Reese. There's no confusion. You can talk about whatever you want, all right? So I will ask, Angel Reese went wild virally yesterday on social media because someone got a screenshot of her leaving the Aces floor, and she had on some shorts, and she's got a rump on her, and so people were going crazy. This balance of the WNBA, and it's really with all female athletes, there is a balance and a decision to be made. Am I going to play out my sexuality at all? Or I'm just going straight forward, don't worry about it, and it's only on the floor. I don't know what the right balance is.
I think you can have a balance, right? I mean, and I like the fashion show. The men do it. Why can't the women, right? Oh, they're designer and they're walking in. So, but you're right. It is a balance, and you want to go too far, I think. But I do. I respect and love those women that walk in their basketball shorts and hoodie, and they do not care. They're kind of like
Jokic.
Are there
some who are doing it? Maybe they just don't make it on camera?
Right, okay. Yes. Yep.
Because I got to tell you, I'm not 6'5". I wish I was, but I'm not. I can barely get dressed with this. And this is dressed up. A Hawaiian shirt and some slacks. And every once in a while, maybe some loafers. That's it. I'm not coordinating my outfit. But here's the other thing. I'm not on TV, and things are important to different people. Different things are important to different people. And for a lot of women, you know what? How you dress, how you look, your makeup, your hair, that's important. I'm an old guy. It doesn't matter. But I also don't get outraged that, you know, Cam Brink wants to present a certain image. Angel Reese wants to have an image. Kelsey Plum wants to have an image. Do whatever you want. You know, Sid Colson has a different image. So.
I agree. I'm not outraged. I'm okay with it. I kind of missed that yesterday with that
you missed it
around social media. Yeah.
Your algorithm is completely different, obviously, as a female. Because mine went crazy, and I didn't even check TikTok. I'm sure TikTok, for the next 3 days, is going to have those freaking shorts and her leaning over and all that. They're going to go hog wild over that. All right, we're going to go out to Chicago next. First, though, let's do a giveaway, 364-1100. We're going to go to Xavier Pope. We're not leaving here to fly to Chicago during the break. But four tickets any day, Summer League. NBA Summer League going on through the 22nd. Thomas and Mack Center and Cox Pavilion. You can get your tickets at unlvtickets.com, 45 for adults, 35 for the kiddies, and you get 8 games a day. And we'll get to Bronny later on. Bronny actually had some encouraging signs last night. Caller 7, caller 7, caller 7. Call Griffin, 364-1100. Caller 7 for tickets to the NBA Summer League.
Lawyer and host of Suit Up News, Xavier Pope, joins Cofield and Company now.
All right, let's get to it. Alex White is here. It's Cofield. Xavier is on the horn. EP, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Steve?
A whole lot. A whole lot. First of all, are you safe? I saw some of your post-tornado pictures. My God, your neighborhood, that's crazy. Those were old trees that were broken and, you know, bent in half.
Man, it just shows you how powerful Mother Nature is, man. I mean, I mean, the whole entire block, there were just trees all over the cars, all over the street. I mean, I'm literally like stepping over branches just to walk out of my condo building. And so it was just a scary experience because the power was out all night. And so I just laid in my place just staring in the dark, man. It was weird, man. I never experienced anything like that. We get severe thunderstorms in Chicago, but in fact, it was a tornado that touched down in Chicago near the airport. It was insane. So, yeah, I'm safe, man.
I've never been through one. They look horrendous. I don't ever want to go through one. So, okay, let's talk some Chicago sports right out of the gates here. I wanted your take as an attorney. You know, you're kind of down with stuff like this because attorneys are handling a lot of these deals. Caleb Williams pretty much has this whole thing done. There's a little bit of, you know, I's that need to be dotted, T's that need to be crossed. But what do you think of Caleb Williams? You know, another one of the players who was handling the deal kind of himself, but at least without an NFLPA approved agent.
I mean, I think guys that use NFLPA approved agents, the reason why, because, you know, you see what different athletes get taken advantage of. And so I think that's the reason why that system is set up. But if he's an adult, he has the right to be able to negotiate his contract in a way that he sees fit, looking at different tax strategies and a way to, you know, turn around money. I mean, more power to him. I mean, I think one of the weird thing is that we try to look into how athletes handle their financial affairs. These are adults. Why do we have to scrutinize the way that they handle their money?
Well, it's different, and you know the NFL, and you know they don't love to see this, and we've heard, you know, stories in the past of players being misrepresented. But I guess my confidence level would be a little higher with Caleb Williams because now college players have to deal with handling money when they're in school, and I'm sure Team Caleb has a pretty good advisor or advisors already. We've heard, you know, they were investing the money, and he was probably north of a million and a half NIL. So I trust him a little more. So it's probably not as easy for the Bears, right, to just move it along. So, yeah, there might be a little more personal touch to dealing with Team Caleb.
I also got to consider this, Steve. Remember people were criticizing Lamar Jackson, and then you saw the deal he got, and then people shut up.
It looked pretty good. Yeah, he held out, and I think people thought he was going to get lowballed and accept it, and he did not accept it. I can't remember if you're a Hard Knocks guy or not, but what do you expect coming out of the gates? How do you think Caleb Williams is going to be coming off on Hard Knocks with the Bears? And I wonder how they're going to present him.
Well, I think they're going to present him, you know, like he's the savior of this franchise. I mean, you also got to consider they put a lot of weapons around him, what they didn't do around Justin Fields. And so I think they probably want to highlight him as a leader of that team. But that's been the story around Caleb Williams since when he was in college, in high school. Like he was a guy who was a ready-made leader. And I think that's why what they call the intangible, Steve, on him was so high, was that he was such a high-character guy. And so I think that's probably what the narrative is kind of going to be around him, establishing him as the face of the Chicago Bears.
Well, I hope, and we're talking to Xavier Pope, the experience for Caleb Williams is, you know, real good anywhere he goes to Chicago and Illinois. You know, Terrell Davis did not have a great experience on a flight, or at least getting off a flight. You can give the story to the audience, but is this an issue that goes deeper than just some jackass flight attendant?
No, it's the story of America. I mean, this just wouldn't have happened if he was not a black man. He's with a family. You know, to be threatening with your family, with your children, just tapping the arm, of a flight attendant, and, hey, you didn't serve my kid. And the guy says, "Don't touch me." They go back to their flight, and then everyone is made to sit down. And then then Terrell Davis is made an embarrassment right there in front of his kids. And the story is old as time in terms of the embarrassment of a black man in front of their family and putting them in a position with law enforcement. And then when push came to shove, he was found out to be nothing was wrong. He did not assault this guy, and then now the flight attendant has been relieved of their duty. I think it's great that he's getting fired, but I think that it's really great that Terrell Davis is speaking out and saying this is not the proper treatment in a 2024, in a divisive political time where there's a renewed sense of bigotry in this country. And I think stories like Terrell Davis highlight we still have far to go. And it's not just a situation where it could have gone worse. And what if he wasn't Terrell Davis? I mean, that's why it's an FAFO. But there are people who don't have this profile of Terrell Davis that his happens to all the time.
I would assume that there were some really great witnesses who stood up for him when, you know, people were being questioned about what they saw, which I also think that if that's the case, that's a good thing, that people are not going to stand for this kind of nonsense from. And this is not an attack on flight attendants, but sometimes I'll call it over-officious. We see in the airline industry, people get a little crazy. They're dealing with a lot all the time, but apparently this person was a little out of control, or a lot out of control, if you're getting cuffed after the flight.
But then again, some I can't, this is speculative, but maybe someone recognized Terrell Davis and said, hey, that's a 2,000-yard rusher, a Super Bowl champion, Terrell Davis that you're messing with right now, as opposed to some person that's on a flight. Who may be sitting in coach and may not necessarily have the same visibility as anyone else. So the fact that he does have a profile helps him out, even though he wasn't recognized immediately by that flight attendant.
At Xavier Pope up on Twitter. He's an attorney. He's our cultural contributor right here on Cofield & Company on Thursdays. All right, we got to do it. WNBA. It's every week. I love it. There's always a new controversy. There's always a new argument. It's just now it's a switch into different topics. So I saw that you reacted to Dan Patrick talking about Rookie of the Year and Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese. We got a bite out of that. So let's play this real quick, Griffin.
I mean, she scored or assisted on 66 of her team's 93 points. That's a WNBA record. She's gone 20-10 a couple of times this year, three times. I mean, she's going to set all the rookie records in the WNBA.
Well, DP's talking about Caitlin Clark. We know one record she's not going to set, and that is a double-double record. This discussion has become pretty crazy. I think you retweeted it simply with a clown face. So what do you think about what Dan Patrick was saying about Reese versus Clark?
Yeah, I think it was ridiculous for him to say that it's a funny argument when she set the, you know, with the doubles record, exactly, brought up Angel Reese. And you don't mention that. And just conveniently leave that out. And I just think that there is this weird politics around getting behind Caitlin Clark. I know there's a new deal, WNBA, $2.2 billion. Quadruples the revenue of the league. That isn't just Caitlin Clark. You know, you have the Asia Wilsons, you have the Angel Reese, you have Caitlin Clark, who raised the visibility of the sport. And I just think that I don't know why people are so hung up on caping for her and making her this cultural identifier when Angel Reese has had an admirable season in terms of stats are concerned. And to say that it's funny and then talk about Angel Reese's clothing and taunting, I just think there's some coded language behind a lot of that talk.
Well, that Dan Patrick didn't talk about the last part of that. That's our guy Whitlock, who said that basketball is a sport built on highlights. Angel Reese doesn't have any highlights. All she's known for is taunting Clark and dressing provocatively.
But he's not the only person that said that, though, Steve. And so I think that you don't have to advocate for Caitlin Clark by demonizing and coded language against black women in the WNBA. Just say you like her. She's a great player. Talk about her stats. Don't demonize the other women in the league that you didn't even watch before this season started.
Xavier Pope is with Cofield and Company. All right. I'm going to say we're lightening it up. Those are pretty serious topics you're talking about. For me, my life is very much built around hot dogs. And I know you watched, or did you? Let's go back to 4th of July. That became, in my mind, a labor versus a boss, you know, MLE and ESPN deal. Was that 4th of July contest jacked up because of the politics, the labor struggle between Chestnut and the organization?
I mean, it was mostly about, you know, sponsorship, but Joey Chestnut is the nation's hot dog contest. He is the contest. And so I've watched it every single year since I was a kid that I can remember. And for as long as I can remember, this guy is the guy at the top of the hill. I mean, there was this one other guy in the middle I can't yet. IQ, the Japanese guy. I can't say his name. Kobayashi.
Kobayashi. Yeah. Kobayashi.
Yeah. And so he was the other guy. But name one other. This sport is so synonymous with one guy. Besides Kobayashi, name another guy who eats a lot of hot dogs, Steve.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I mean, I can name, I can reel off 12, but I'm an idiot.
I'm not talking about you at the family dinner, Steve.
Yes. You're right, yeah. That's where my dad's like, what's going on in the world of competitive eating, Steve? So, interesting. Netflix, actually, they're part of this whole deal of this new food sponsorship, and I'm sure they're throwing a bunch of money at Chestnut, so he gets basically go to MLE and go, you know what, I'm done, I'm going to do this, I'm going to barnstorm, and he's like popping up everywhere, you know, getting paid for appearances. Kobe and Chestnut are going to go at it on Netflix on September 2nd. They've got a rule that you can't dunk the bun, you got to eat and the meat and bun cannot be separated. This is a whole new world here. I know you could do this with veggie dogs, so let's not just, I don't want you to jump on the hot dogs are disgusting. That makes a eating contest, roll and dog all at once, much different.
That's way different. Like stuffing a hot dog down your throat and then adding the breading and all like what it does to your throat, like drying you out. That changed the whole dynamic. I mean, that's basically like putting a pitch count in Major League Eating. So,
I did see a tweet from you. I've got a couple here. I think you're correct on one. You're incorrect on the other. You are correct on. French fries are allowed at breakfast.
They should be. But most people go to any place. They're not serving fries at breakfast. They're serving your home fries. They're serving your hash browns. It's all fried potatoes, Steve. French fries are delicious. They should be eaten at every meal possible. I want to dunk my fry in whatever condiment that's available for breakfast as I would at evening.
Country gravy. I mean, come on. It'd be unbelievable.
Yes, Steve, yes. Yes, okay. You're right. I'm in agreement.
Where you're wrong is you say that sandwiches are best with toasted bread. I don't think I'm on board with that. That was it. He just hung up. I disagreed with him. He hung up.
No, I just had to get a quick pause, Steve, because toasted bread. Sandwiches are the best with toasted bread. I mean, it just makes it the softness on the inside with the crispiness on the outside. That's how it goes.
We will agree to disagree for now, but I'm disagreeing. We're up against it. We will open our spot next week. I promise I'll remember with toasted bread versus smushy, untoasted bread for sandwiches. See you, buddy. Love you.
Love you, guys.
There he is. Alex, you want to jump in?
I think I like toasted bread.
All right. That's the rest of the show.